Gemara's Mikates, it says from Rebbe Yashiv. This is a great board from Rebbe Yashiv. I'll tell you why I'm bringing up Rebbe Yashiv in a second. It says, Vayihi, Mikates Shnasayim Yamin. At the end of 2 years, Uparo Cholim, Paro was dreaming, Eomed Eliyahor, and he was standing on top of the river, right? So Paro had this dream at the end of 2 years. Rebbe Yashiv says the word Mikates is, he's quoting a medrash, it's Kates Sam Lachoshech. There is an end, says God, to the darkness. There's always an end to the darkness at some point, no matter how long it seems to go on for. Yosef was in jail for 12 years. I don't think people really understand that. 12 years of jail. It's just dumb. It's not like a month or 2 months or whatever. 12 years in jail for nothing. 2 years ago, this Sarah Mashkin, the guy who was in charge of the drinks of the king, seemed clear to Yosef that he was the messenger, the emissary that was going to bring him out of jail. 2 years ago, he was the shliach from God, and he told him, can you remember me in front of Paro? Not only did he not remember Yosef, on the day when Paro was pardoning all the prisoners, on the day of his birthday, or the birth of the new Paro, on the day he was pardoning everybody, not only did they say that, the innocent man remained in jail after all those travails and all these things, being sold down to Mitzrayim, being hated by the brothers and everything like that. But not only that, by Yishkocheyu, he totally forgot him. And it was that he was sitting in jail for 2 years, he felt all alone. All of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, by Ritzuhu Minabor, they quickly brought him out of the pit. They ran him out of the pit. That's it. It's Mamish by Ritzuhu Minabor. The whole thing, right? By Ritzuhu Minabor. They Mamish ran him out of the pit. They just said quickly. Notice, everything in the Megillah is also this concept of running and running and running. Because when Hashem wants a Geula, it's always as quick as you can possibly. Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wait 1 second, and it's all done. Everything's right there. Okay. I'm going to show you some things where you can just see there's Mamish and Geula. You can feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. Mamish, I cannot tell you how I felt after this happened. Two real stories over here. Hashkacha Pratis. True Hashkacha Pratis. I'm in the old city. Okay, I'm going out of the old city. I just spoke at a yeshiva called Oraita. That was the city. That was it's a different type of yeshiva for academy kids. It wasn't really shy. It was Skokie. Very interesting. Very interesting place. It was for kids that are like really, they're going to college. Period. They're not going to yeshiva. They're not even thinking about YU. It's not even shaykh. So like it's kids in the academy who have like they want to go to college or whatever it is, but they want to take a year off. And this Rabbi, he was there. This rabbi that was there, Rabbini, was just absolutely unbelievable. He was unbelievably impressive. We just left. Rabbi Josh Zizek and I, we just left. He's driving. I'm in the seat right next to him. We're going out of the old city. So we're right by where the 1 and 2 bus are going out. As we're going there, I see a guy asking for a ride. And I'm like, hold on a second. I know that person. See, it's Rabbi Kirschenbaum. Rabbi Chaim Kirschenbaum used to be my posek. He was my Rebbe, my fourth year on base. I said, hold on a second. We like pull over to the side a little bit. I jump out of the car. I say, Rebbe, what's going on? How's Rebbe doing? You know, I just say hello, shalom aleichem, whatever it is. And then I ask, does Rebbe need a ride anywhere? He said, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Talpiot. I was going to Merkaz HaTorah. And I'm going to Talpiot. Where does Rebbe need to go? He said, oh, I'm going in the other side of town completely. I'm going around Motz. Don't worry about it. You can't take me. I'm like, I wish I had time. I have to go to Merkaz by 1:30. It was already 1:15. He said, I don't have time to take Rebbe. I'm really sorry. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's a guy standing right there. He's like, you're going where? I said, Talpiot. He said, really? Can I come with you? So I said, yeah, sure. Come in. You know, in Hebrew. So I said, yeah, it's not a problem whatsoever. Come. So he comes into the car. As we're going outside the old city, he speaks to us in English. He says, you did me a favor, I want to do you a favor. We said, no, please, don't worry about it. He's like, no, I want to do you a favor. What are you davening shacharis tomorrow morning? This is on Monday. So what are you davening shacharis tomorrow morning? I said, I'm supposed to speak at Nitiv Aryeh in the old city right after shacharis. I got to daven there at 7:25. He said, get up a little bit earlier. Get up at 5:50 and get yourself some mea sharm. Okay? Go to Rebbe Yashiv's minyan. I'm Rebbe Yashiv's minyan's gabbai. I'm the gabbai of that minyan. So I can get you in. I'm going to get you a bracha from Rebbe Yashiv. I'll give you a bracha from Rebbe Yashiv. He said, it's very chashuv to get a bracha from a 100-year-old man. I said, it's not about the 100-year-old. It's like a bit more chashuv. He told me that. His name is Rav Ephraim Holtzberg. You ever look up from the Kotel? You see Esh HaTorah on one side? You know what I'm talking about? Esh HaTorah is like right there, that big building. Right next to it, there's a little building that says Bar Mitzvah on it. You ever seen that building? He owns that building. That's his. That's his Simcha Hall. He's the one that runs that old Simcha Hall. He said he does tons of tzedakah stuff and this and that and the other. He said whenever you make we always have a Shabbaton in the old city. We had it in Chivari, we had it at Kotel. He said, you make a Shabbaton in the old city, call me up next year. I'll make sure it's at my place. I'll give you guys a great deal, and then I'll set you up with the Mekubalim in the old city, and then I'll bring you over to Rebbe Yashiv during the day on Shabbos day. Then I told us all these crazy things. We're like, oh my gosh, he gave us his card and everything like that. So the next morning, we get up early in the morning. You better believe we're getting up early in the morning. We got that. We went to sleep at like 1:30. We like set our clocks for 5:45. We got ourselves up. We went over to Rebbe Yashu's minyan. It was unbelievable. His mamish in like a caravan. They redid everything because it's got to be right by his house. He's much older now. And they did it. Right up to the minyan, he comes up to us. He says, go right to the left of Rebbe Yashu. Okay, I'm going to push you guys in front. There was like a swarm around Rebbe Yashu after the minyan's over. All these bar mitzvah boys and whatever it was like three bar mitzvah boys and a couple other people that are there. And then all of a sudden, he pulls me in. And he said, you know, his grandson announced, the Mashkiach of Skokie Yeshiva is now asking for a bracha for himself and for the yeshiva. Is that crazy? So they pulled it in, Rebbe Yashu gave the whole bracha and everything. And then, you know, I said, for my wife, you know, my wife's pregnant, can, you know, she have everything? And he got that. And then I got other stuff as well. Okay, so I got everything. I got everything, and I gave him a whole thing of name, whatever it is, the names inside. What happened? So then Josh is the one right behind me, and then all of a sudden, Rebbe Yashu, after he finished with Josh, he got up and he walked out. So we were the last two people to get the bracha. And then that day, it was absolutely unbelievable. You want to hear something more unbelievable? Rebbe Holtzberg set up a guy to take pictures of it and a video camera. So now we have the entire thing on CD with everything, with the bracha and everything, and we have pictures of it. We had to pay the guys, of course. You know, I don't know what it was. It was like 20 shekels. It was Tuesday morning. So now it's Thursday morning, Thursday night. This past Tuesday. Mamish, you asked, it's so crazy. Mamish, like, gosh, kaka proxies, like, for nothing. All we did was I went out of my car to say hello to my Rebbe. And this is what I get for it. Mamish, that's what I get for it. I never would have met the guy otherwise. Never would have had any shekels with him. Never would have gotten this buckle. It's absolutely unbelievable. I should tell you before I left for Eretz Yisrael. Before I left for Eretz Yisrael, my wife told me, can you get a bracha from Rebbe Yashu for me? I will tell you, that was the one thing my wife asked from me. It was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. Last year, I went to another yeshiva. It's in the old city. Everything happens in the old city. It's a yeshiva called Birkas HaTorah. Birkas HaTorah is a newer yeshiva, whatever. Rabbi Green used to be the yeshiva there, now it's something different. And I spoke there last year. I saw in the corner of the room a weird-looking chair. Like a weird-looking, like a big, huge chair. So I said to them, what's pshat? What's that for? Right? So they told me, oh, it's a bris chair. It's one of those chairs that you have when you have a bris mila, you know, sort of elul and avi chair, like one of those chairs. So I said to him, I'm like, how many brisim? It's like a smaller place. I'm like, how many brisim do you have here? They have to have a bris mila chair. I'm like, what's pshat? They said, yeah, we have a bris once in a while, right? So I'm like, I said to them, you remember saying this to them? I'm like, yeah, I can't believe you have enough brisim that it makes it worth it to have an Elio and Avi chair. So I'm like, okay, whatever. This year, I went to Birkas HaTorah, okay? They had to delay my speech. Why did they have to delay my speech? They had a bris mila. Mamish at that moment. And I didn't even think about it. And so I sat down in the room later on. I went to go learn at the Ramban Shul. That already was another story because a guy, a Nanach guy, came up to me with dripping pace, dripping wet. I don't know what it was dripping from. Either way, he was dripping wet, getting onto my nose, and he's like, I thought it's Baye. She's telling me you're going to be embarrassed. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I need a little midcon, you know, like, don't bother me. I think you're going to be embarrassed for making fun of Nanach. She's like, I was like, I do make fun of Nanach a lot. Like, I can't believe it. It was Mamish crazy. I went back to the what's it called, to the yeshiva, to Birkas HaTorah, and I was sitting in the room and I was speaking, and then all of a sudden I'm like, your bris chair, did you just use that chair? And they said yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just remembered last year I said there's no way that you guys have enough bris milas to get the chair. It's unreal sometimes where a Kaddish Baruch Hu puts something modish in your lap and just says to you, like, remember what you said last year, remember what you said, this and that and the other. It's mamish unbelievable. I'm telling you, chance, this is aside from all the chance meetings. So when you're in Eretz Yisrael, somehow you meet up with everyone you needed to know. On Friday night, Yisrael Aaron Price, who was an old guy in yeshiva, happened to be at the Kotel that night, wasn't supposed to be, came to the Kotel. So he's with us. Another guy, Avi Engelhard, was at a different Mincha minyan that I was at. We saw Mr. and Mrs. Klein, Michael and Naomi Klein. We saw them at a bookstore, and they were whatever. We saw Mr. Abel at a Gothic. Just all you get from this is there is a God, and He is great. That's all it is. Like, if you had any spekos up until now, I have none anymore. Any spekos that I possibly had, they went all out the window as soon as these crazy things were happening. Mamish hashkacha pratis. It was unbelievable. Okay. Let's get back over here. Reb Shur says, Yemei Sova Baratzon. There were years of of Sovav, satiation, where they're going to have 7 years of goodness, then 7 years of Rav. 7 years of Rav, right? In Paro's dream. So Rav Shur says that there's a tremendous lesson for us nowadays. He says, having Nimi Sova is the first part of the Klala. It's also part of the Klala. It's part of the curse. Because if you overeat, once a person starts overeating, it makes the Yemei Rav, the days of hunger, that much worse. Because he got used to having so much stuff. You know how if you're overeating and you're eating so much and whatever it is, once you fast the next day, it gets worse. Because you expect to have so much more, it's unbearable. And you'll end up resorting to drastic measures to get what you need because you're used to having so much more. That's why Yosef took everything into the Otzer. Even during the Yemei Sova, he took everything into his storage houses. So they didn't oversatiate themselves, they didn't overeat, so that the Yemei Rav would be at least bearable. That when they were hungry, at least they understood what it meant to be hungry. The lesson is to not overdo it, even when you can, to never overdo it. Never go more than what you're used to, because once you start going overboard, then that's when you have a problem. And this idea you can add on to Hanukkah, you can connect to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a chag about the ruchnius. To knock out the gashmi, so we have, sure, you're going to have your lakis, you're going to have your sufganiyot, you're going to have your concerts, you're going to have all the parties and everything like that that's going on, but it's the point, it's the light in the darkness. It's supposed to be the ore that's shining through the choshech, that even when there's no hope, there's a pshat in Hanukkah. So I'll tell you over two Hanukkah boards that really hit me. As I was on the plane back, I was looking in these farms, and I found these two boards. One was from Rav Wolfson, one was from Rav Shor. The Rambam calls Hanukkah, he calls it a mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od. The most beloved mitzvah. He doesn't call any other mitzvah that way. Mitzvah chaviva ad ma'od. What makes Hanukkah more significant than any other chag? Any other mitzvah? Any other mitzvah in the world, 613 mitzvahs, and none of them are called Chaviv Ad Ma'od. This Durabanan is called Chaviv Ad Ma'od. What is it? Every other chag that we have deals with something called Hisorus Milamawa. Pesach, did we deserve to get freed from Mitzrayim? No. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to save us. So he came down, freed us, and we had Kris Yamsu. Even Purim. We had to do tshuva in order to deserve the goodness from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No. You're right, but there was Yisoros Milamala, meaning we were given a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to know that we have to do tshuva. We were given a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to really do something in order to bring ourselves up to the level that we could actually do, we could actually bring ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Rev Wolfson puts it, but I can hear it sort of the other way. Sukkis, I mean, no sheikhis. We got everything in the midbar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavuos, we were given a gift of the Torah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, no sheikhis. They were just given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to celebrate or to have something or whatever it is. Here, this chag is totally different. It starts with the Chashmonaim doing something. The Chashmonaim going out to war by being misorer themselves, fighting with Mesiris Nefesh, giving up their lives for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah. Not because they were going to be killed, but rather because they were trying to take away our Torah. They were trying to take away Shabbos. They were trying to take away Rosh Chodesh. They were trying to take away Bris Milah. They were being together. They were trying to take away Kedushas Ish V'Ishta. They were being bold. They were being bold. They were being together. They were living with the wives before we were able to be with them. They were trying to take away the Kedusha of our own houses. Can you imagine that gezerah being made nowadays, by the way? Anyone in the world. There's a gezerah in the world that every woman who's going to get married has to be together with the general or the governor of that country. I know they used to. Can you imagine that gezerah being happening now?
The whole point was that they were trying to assimilate their mix the people.
100%. I understand completely. It just seems so strange. But the Chashmonaim were Moser Nefesh Mamish for the Ruchnis that they knew they were under. That's why it's Chaviva Ad Ma'od. Because it's due to our own decisions and our own willingness to die for God. To die purely because we're Jews. The Raya is from Avram and Eliezer. Avram Avinu told Eliezer Abed Avram to swear to him that he would get a wife. You know, white for Yitzchak Avinu. I mean, I'm swearing the Bris Milah. Swearing the Bris Milah. Rashi says over there, Ubalo al Yidei Tzar. Avram Avinu had the Bris Milah through pain, Vaisa Chaviva Alav. And that's why it was Chaviv to him. When a person has pain to do a certain mitzvah, when a person goes through a whole big thing in order to do a mitzvah, that makes a chaviv to him. That's the pshat. So says Rav Wolfson, now is the time to work on our mesiras nefesh. Here is the time and the place to be able to be moser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's what Hanukkah is all about. Rav Shor adds on a little bit. If you're mechabev HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing his mitzvot and by showing God your willingness to fight for ruchnias, you're willing to fight for it, then im shema tishmu, God will bring it right back to you. He'll be mechabev you and he'll show you something. He'll show you, I want great things to happen to you as well. I want to do something for you as well. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be. In the Gruz Sitter, says Wilson, he suggests the following to think about when you say Shema. An unbelievable little line. This is what you should think about when you say Shema. The word Shema and Echad stand for something, says the Gruz. Shema and Echad, they stand for the six types of korbanos that a Jew brings. Okay, six types of korbanos. Shema is Shlomim, peace offerings, Mincha, the flower offerings, and Ola, the burnt offerings, the fully burnt offerings. Shlomim Mincha Ola. Echad stands for Asham. Yeah, they're also. Yeah, Shachos Mincha Aravis is also brought up there. But either way, Echad is Asham. Chatas. Oh, you're saying it because of the Korbanos. I didn't even think of that. That's very, very good. I didn't even think of that. He said Aleph is Asham. Ches is Chatas. Both are guilt offerings, right? Something you did wrong. And then the Dalid, he says, are the Dalid Mine Lachmei Toda. The four different types of bread that you bring in the Korban Toda. The Korban Toda is considered a shlomen. But the bread that you bring with, there are 30 loaves of matzah, 10 loaves of chametz, and you bring those, the Dalid Mine Lachmei Toda, that's the Shema Achad. Elsewhere, he gives another remez. There's another remez that the Grug is, stands for six people who are Moser Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Start from the Korbanos. There are six people you should think of when you say Shema Achad. Those six people are Avram Avinu, Hananiah Mishael Azariah, and then Daniel, and Shmaryahu. Again, you'd have to do it out of order. Shmaryahu Mishael Azariah would be Shema. And then Echad would be Avram, Hananiah, Daniel. Who's Shmaryahu? Shmaryahu happened during the Shmad. During the times of Shmad, Tach V'tat, Shmaryahu was one of the people who was willing to be Moser Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are you going to say, yes? This is unbelievable. Listen to what he says. Question is obvious, right? Question is obvious. There are millions of Jews over the years who have been Moser Nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think of the Holocaust. Just think of the Holocaust. Millions of Jews were Moser Nefesh because they were Jewish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are these six picked over anybody else? Why are we choosing these guys as the guys who are Moser Nefesh over anybody else? Rav Shor says, here's the pshat. It's unbelievable. Rav Shor says, and I've never heard this before, and I mamish tried it, it works. It's really unbelievable. It mamish works. He says, when a person reads Shema, he should think of a huge flame that's going down from right in front of him, going straight up to Shemayim. You think of a flame starting here that goes up to Shemayim, just one big flame. You're saying, God, you are one. You are absolutely one. And you think of a flame right there in front of you, it's boiling out of Shemayim. That's supposed to be your Mesiras Nefesh. Now, the question is, what does Mesiras Nefesh mean? Typically, it means your Moser Nefesh means you die Al Kitz Hashem. You die for the holiness, for the sanctification of God's name. It says the opposite. It says there's another form of Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh could be you give up something and yet you continue to live. Did you notice those six people? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was thrown into the Gov Arayos. Shmayel, I don't know enough about. I can't say anything. Avraham was thrown into the Kishon Eish. All six were Moser Nefesh and lived. They lived. They were the six people who were willing to be Moser Nefesh. And Mamish wanted to die Al Kiddush Hashem, and they didn't. Yitzchak Avinu died according to some Pirushim. And even Yitzchak Avinu was not necessarily more of a willingness as it was Avraham Avinu was telling him, this is what you have to do. So that's a good call. And I thought about that as well. What about the Akedah? And why wouldn't that be part of the Ayin of Echad, Shema? Right, why not add that in for Shema? But I think that Yitzchak Avinu was a little bit different.
Yitzchak was 37. He clearly had a choice.
I definitely hear you. However, he was tied down. So at the time when, and even though you could say, well, he didn't have to tie himself down, at the time when he was being shechted or about to be shechted, he wasn't able to do anything. It was Avraham who was doing it. It wasn't Yitzchak Avinu who was throwing himself in the fire.
Daniel
was willing. He threw himself into the Gov Arayos. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah put themselves in, meaning they were allowed to do it. As opposed,
Avraham was thrown in.
And it could even be the opposite. You know what? I'll give you another answer because I just thought of this while we were saying it. Yitzchak Avinu didn't do it because he was trying to fight about Avodah Zarah. He did it because that was the nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These six were doing it to get out of Avodah Zarah. They were doing it to get around the Avodah Zarah. They were being Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu instead of doing an Avera. That might be the reason why. I'm sorry? Shmaryahu must have. I don't know what the story is by him. The Gra says that Shmaryahu was the person by Shmad. He didn't explain himself, and I'm not so sure what he was referring to. But I'm assuming that that's, it was another situation similar to these. But that's what Rav Shur says. Rav Shur says that these six were being willing to be Moser Nefesh. They were living to be Mevatel the Ratzon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. Whatever you want me to do. And yet they didn't actually die. That's the pshat behind it. So too with Korbanos. The Ramban says the whole pshat behind Korbanos, the whole secret behind why we bring a Korban, is to see that Korban be shechted and burnt up to Shemayim, and to picture it as if you are being destroyed. You are being burned to Shemayim. That's the pshat. It's like it's you, but it's not really you. You didn't really die. That's the mysterious nefesh. And that's what you're supposed to think about in Shema. Your Shema Chod is supposed to be, there's a flame going up to Shemayim. And he said, O Kadosh Baruch Hu, I would be willing to give up my life for you, O Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not time yet. It's not time for me to give up my life to you. I'm not ready to give it up yet. I want to live and show you what it's supposed to be. That's the type of idea what it's supposed to be. Shema and Echod have two big letters. Shema is the big ayin in the Torah, and Echod is the big Dalet in the Torah. Why Ayin and Dalet? Well, what did Ayin and Dalet together make? Aid. It's your testimony, right? Aid. Yeah. Aid would be in a corpse. Aid as Eidus, that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Aid in the Korbanos are the two lives that a Jew leads. An Ola and the Dalet Lachmei Todah. What's an Ola? An Ola is Kula Kalul Hashem. It's entirely burnt. It's a burnt offering that entirely is given up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's mamish entirely burnt. There's not even a little bit of... The entire thing is burned up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, when I'm Mevatel, everything logical, and all the normal things in this world, and I do everything purely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for no other reason, like I sit in Shul and I daven, I learn in the base measures. I do things that mamish people don't understand, people don't get, and if I would tell people afterward, they'd be like, what are you, nuts? What are you, crazy? For what? What would you do that for? Not for intellectual pursuit, but purely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to learn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to daven. At that point, I'm giving up what I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first part of your Eidus. Second part of Eidus is not just when you're in shul or whatever. It's a Dalet Lachmei Todah. Dalet Lachmei Todah, on 4 different types of bread, there's matzah and there's chametz. 10 loaves of chametz, 30 loaves of matzah. It's a mixture. Because there are times when we go out into the world and we do whatever we need to do. We work. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to go shopping. We go into the world, and we make a Kiddush Hashem. During the time when we're a mixture between the chametz and the matzah, when we have chametz involved, where there are bad things out there in the world, and the matzah, which is supposed to represent something good, even in that life, where I live my business life, I'm still going to do the right thing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever the right thing is, I'm going to lead a life that people are going to look at me and they're going to say, that's a great person. Another story. When I was coming back from Israel, we stopped off in Philadelphia. It was U.S. Air. So U.S. Air goes from Philadelphia to Eretz Yisrael back to Philadelphia. So we stopped on the Philadelphia airport. And we got there. We landed at 6 o'clock in the morning, about that. Okay? My flight was at 7:55. So I got out, you know, I got out of security very quickly, rather quickly. I didn't have anything with me. No nuts. I don't bring nuts with me. So I got out of security very quickly and everything was all good. So I got to the what's it called, the counter, and it was 6:55. I looked outside, it was pitch black outside. I'm like, it's 6:55 a.m. There's no way it's not morning yet. But I wasn't sure exactly when Vasikin was. So I went to the counter and I said to him, you know, what time do we arrive in Chicago? They said, you know, they told me the time. They said 9:20 or whatever it was. I said, this is a weird question. You know, forgive me for asking, but do you have any idea when sunrise is? I need to know where the sun rises. So he said, I have absolutely no idea. So I'm like, all right, I knew it would be a long shot. I'm just going to check the papers. Thank you so much. So I went to the paper. The guy selling papers, I said, I'm really sorry. I want to check when sunrise is. I don't want to buy a paper. I just want to check when sunrise is. Can I please borrow like a paper from Philadelphia? So he said, yeah, not a problem. Just look it up. So I looked up Philadelphia Inquirer or whatever it is, right? I looked it up. 7:05, I believe it was. It might have been a little bit, whatever. 7:05, around that time. Like, oh, perfect. I have enough time. I said, thank you very much. Went into a corner by the airport where we were, and I started davening. Took out my towels and tefillin. Started davening, okay? I went back in line to be able to stand, to be able to get into the flight. And this woman comes up to me and says, did you find out when sunrise was? So I'm like, yeah. It was 7:05. She's like, oh, good. Okay, fine. I'm like, you don't mind me asking you, how do you know that I was asking about sunrise? So she said, that person behind the counter started asking everybody for me when exactly sunrise is, because he saw that you were clearly praying to God over there. So he asked everyone around to find out exactly when sunrise is, if anybody knew when sunrise was. So nobody knew, so we were trying to figure out, do we know when sunrise was? So I'm like, that's crazy. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Then another couple people came up to me and asked me. Then the lady who was taking my ticket for the airplane, she said to me, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, why do you have to know when the sun rises if the sun isn't rising because there's clouds all around and it's really rainy outside? Why does it really matter? So I'm like, well, see, God is there even if the sun doesn't rise. So, meaning the sun is there behind the clouds, and God is there at all times. It's just that we need a special time to daven, a special time to pray, and the special time for praying is in the morning when the sun rises. But I'm not praying to the sun, I'm praying to God, and that's the time that God tells me to pray. You know, so she said, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, God is around you at all times. I said, yeah, of course, God is everywhere, right? And everybody around there is like paying attention. There's like five people behind me. It was the craziest thing ever. I get on the plane, and Josh Zizek, who's with me the whole time, missed the entire thing. He missed the entire thing because he wasn't with me. He was around, and he had to go to security and this and that and the other, and then he got on the plane earlier than me, and I was like, Josh, you'll never believe what just happened to me. And like the whole thing, it was like 20 people. They were all trying to find out when sunrise was, what exactly the sunrise, what did he need it for? It was the nuttiest thing I've ever been through. The pshat is that you have no idea when at Kaddish Baruch Hu, you just have to do whatever you need. And at Kaddish Baruch Hu will show you that you can make a Kiddush Hashem in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of nothing, at 7 o'clock in the morning when you're wasted, tired, because you just took a flight from Israel. Nobody sleeps on flights from Israel. It doesn't make a difference. At Kaddish Baruch Hu will allow you to make the greatest things in the world. And that's the pshat. In those lives, if you do that, and you do the Eidos, and you do the Ayin and the Dalet, during the Ola, the Dalet Lach Metoda, whether you're in your work or anything else, and you make that Kiddush Hashem, then the rest of the letters of Shema are Aleph, Sin, Mem, and Ches. That's Esmach. Then you'll be happy. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show you that you're going to be happy and everything's about. The Chashmonaim were all about that life of Mesiris Nefesh. Willing to die when they went out to war to fight the Greeks, willing to die, and hence the reference to Shema. Did you know that the pshat is that there are 25 letters in Shema altogether. Shema Yisrael until the end of Echad. 25 letters altogether. For Chaf Hei, the day that they finally defeated the Yevonim, for the Chaf Hei, and that's the reference of Shema that goes on to the Chashmonaim. There's a connection between the two. I'll tell you very quick, in the very end, Yevon is all about aesthetics. If you wanted gematrias, this is the gematria for you. It's unreal. This is pure of shore. Yevon is all about aesthetics, beauty, chitzonius. You know, everything on the outside. Chochma without any year of Shemaim at all. Without any year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just pure Chochma, wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They come from Yefes. There's a machlokas, you should know, where to light according to the Gemara. If you own a house and a front yard, and there's a wall around your front yard, where should you light? Should you light al pesach beso, by the door of your house, because you can see the door of your house from the outside, or should you light at the door of the chatzar? Door of the chatzar. So Tosa says, you should light al pesach beso, by the door of your house. Rashi says, no, you should light al pesach chatzar. You should light by the door of the chatzar. And everybody asks, what's pshat? The bias is kadosh. I can understand lighting by your house, because the house is kadosh. So I get Tosfos, why you light by the house, because of the kedusha, you want to infuse yourself with kedusha. But what's pshat in Rashi? Says Rashi, and here's the pshat of Rav Shur. The idea behind lighting al pesach chatzar, on the outside of your chatzar, is that our avoda on Chanukah, is to light in the chatzar and connect the chatzar to your house. Even the chatzar, which is mamish the rishis harabim, full of tuma, full of garbage, and everything else out there, even the chatzar has to connect to your bias. You got to light out there and connect it back to your house to make even the chitzonius, even the outer things that you have, everything should be holy. Okay, here's how it goes. Nun sofis is another gematria. You know, tuf is 400, chaf sofis is 500, mem sofis is 600, nun sofis is 700. Yavon, with the Nun Sofis, is a gematria of 716. 716 is a gematria of Nachash times 2. 358 times 2. What's pshat? 716 is the klipa of Yitosh, of a fly. Vashti is a gematria of 716. It's pure, pure tuma. If you take a bias, and you add on a chatzar, and you write out there, Bayis v'chotzer is the gematria of 716. Because what you want to do to be mevatel the klipa of Yavan, to knock out the aesthetics, the beauty, the reshus harabim, the klipa of the yitosh, of the flies out there in the world, that fly out there in the world. It's not a coincidence that flies, when they go indoors, die very, very quickly. When they're outdoors, they're fine. They can fly around and they're fine. When they go inside, they immediately die. They can't take it anymore. Because they're all about the tumah on the outside. Bayis v'chotzer is to knock out Yavan. It's to destroy the power of Yavan. The power of Yavan is in the Vav. Yavan is Yud Vav Nun. It's just a small Vav, a middle-sized Vav, and a big Vav. That's what Yavan is all about. That's the letters of Yavan. That's all it is. That's what Yavan is all about. It's all about the Vav. To knock out the connection. Knock out the connection that you're making between the Bayis and the Chatzar. They want to knock it out. You want you to have Chochmah without Yiras Shamayim. They want you to just have the wisdom. They didn't mind us learning Torah, but they said, learn Torah, and then learn Greek. Learn everything else. It's fine if you learn Torah, but learn Torah not as the Iker. Learn Torah as just another endeavor. Another wisdom. Put it in your college classes. Learn Talmud in your college class and use that as just another way of getting credits. That's the idea that they wanted to do. Yes, I'm not going to scold you with all that. Regardless, it's Chochma without Yirah. But if you put together Chochma and Yiras Hashem, Chochma the Yiras Hashem is the gematria of 716. You need that Vav. It's the Chochma and the Yiras Hashem. And the Yiras Hashem. Put it together. Chokhmah of Yiras Hashem is Bayis v'chotzer to knock out Yavan. Here's Pshat. Mamish, sure. Bereshis is a reference to everything in the world. Everything that has ever happened or will ever happen in the world is merames, is hinted to in that word Bereshis. You could say Bereshis is Bara Shis. Shis, Shin, Yud, Tuf, is the gematria of 710. 710 is Bayis and Chotzer. Chochmah and Yiras Hashem. Without the Vav. It separates those. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Sur Yeladcha Teshi. God created us. Teshi, weak. Teshi is Tav Shin Yud. That's the words. God created us to be able to have Chochmah but without the Yiras Hashem. Our job in this world is to add on the Yiras Hashem to the Chochmah. To add on the Vav, to connect the Chatzar to our Bayis. To connect the Kedusha to the Tumah. To connect it to add on the Shis. What is Shis in Aramaic? Vav. It means six. To add on the Vav. Add it on so that it becomes Yiras Hashem v'chokhmah. It becomes Chokhmah v'Yiras Hashem, I guess you can call it. It becomes a Bayis v'chotzer. It becomes 716 and it defeats Yavan. That's the pshat behind the Chashmonayim. The Chashmonayim were known as B'nei Vina, Yemei Shmona, Kavu Shirunanim. They were known as being the level of Bina. However you want to define it. How would you define Bina, Yissi? Your way of defining Bina. Understanding, but what is...
Taking one idea and understanding another idea from it.
Meaning taking it and using it somewhere else. Yodei Bina Li'itim. Yodei Bina Li'itim is the line that's used by Yisachar. Yisachar who learned Torah. Yodei Bina Li'itim. They knew how to use Bina in the correct way. Yodei Bina Li'itim is the gematria of 717. The way to defeat them, to destroy Yavan 716, to go one over and to knock down Yavan, was specifically the Chashmonaim, who were B'nai Vina, Yodei Bina Li'itim. That's exactly what they were able to do. That's what they were able to knock down. That's what they were, what shot in them was, how they were able to defeat Yavan and how they were able to get all the way through. I thought that was an unbelievable verse. I was so upset though. You know why? I thought I had it. Tzvi Hirsch, my name. Altogether, Hirsch is the gematria of 515. Tzvi is the gematria of 102. 515 and 102?
617.
Yodei Bina Li'itim. I was so upset. Because I'm like, for sure there's something else more to this vort. Because there's for sure something more than that. But Tzvi Hirsch is exactly that gematria. Exactly that gematria. The whole pshat is to be able to defeat it and to be able to go there. Unfortunately, it's not that, because it's really 717. I messed up on the Gematria.
So 100
Yeah, my Gematria is 617. I was so excited. And I wrote it down as 617. But it wasn't. It was 717. I messed up by 100. And I was so upset. I was like, oh my gosh. I was going crazy. And then I realized I was off. It was on the plane. So it was good times. And the guy in front of me who was watching like Iron Man or something was just like, shh, stop, I'm watching Iron Man. And so I tried not to you know, to hurt him anymore. But summary, in the darkness, there's still light and there's still hope. Number two, don't overdo the Yemei Sova because of the Yemei Rav. You got to worry about the Yemei Rav, so don't overdo the Yemei Sova. Hanukkah is Mesirut Nefesh, and therefore it's called Chaviv. It's called Beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Mesirut Nefesh of life. The Mesirut Nefesh where we live, Mesirut Nefesh. And Yavin's beauty and how to defeat it? By adding on Yerushalayim, by adding on the Vav, adding to the Chokhmah certain Yerushalayim. That's how we defeat Yavin. That's the Pshat, guys. We'll end with that. Have a good Shabbos. And of course,